session number 27237, reel 12.
Dr. Robert Nowatzki, reel 12. Now we're just coming to the last bits of your RAF career.
Yes.
In mid-46.
Yes.
So what happened before you were demobilised then? What was your last posting?
Well, then there was a question of trying to what was I going to do with my sort of personal civilian life. Now, I was offered a commission in the RAF, but I was sort of dithering. I wasn't quite certain whether to.
You were still just a sergeant.
But
you were still a sergeant, were
you? Oh, no, I was. By that time, I was flight lieutenant.
When did you make flight lieutenant?
Sir?
When did you been made?
Oh, I was made flight lieutenant back in. Well, it must have been 44, 45. I was the flight lieutenant by that time.
And this was a question of a regular commission.
Yes. I think I was offered a extended service commission to begin with the view of making it permanent commission later on. That's what I was offered, you see, now. But I did it a bit because I didn't really want to. I started medicine before the war. Now I wanted to go back to university. So I tried, in 1946, I've tried a number of universities in England, you see, to get there.
While you were still in the RAF?
While I was in the RAF, yes. And I was told to no vacancies, please apply again next year. So I applied again next year, that was 1947. And again I was told no vacancies, apply again next year. You see, unfortunately, all the ex-service people that started university wanted to go back, plus the ordinary intake, you see, of as it was of not A levels but the equivalent of, you see, that wanted to start, you see. So there was a hell of a sort of bulge of students trying to get in. Now, then again, in 1948, eventually, I was offered a place.
Now, hang on, are you still in the RAF then? What's happened?
Obviously, I was in there all the time.
What were you doing from 46 to 48?
Well, I was in the RAF. First of all, now I went to a flying control school in Coningsby. And so I went, with a view of sort of, if you stayed in there, you could have another employment, not only as a pilot, you see.
Did you enjoy it?
Not really, no.
Did you pass the course?
I passed the course, right, yes, but I didn't really sort of, I knew it was only a stopgap, or I thought that would have been a stopgap anyway for me, because unless I couldn't get into any of the universities at any time, then of course I would have accepted the extended service commission and stay on. So that was more or less, I was just marking time, more or less, until 1948, where I was actually offered a place to do to do dentistry in Belfast at Queen's, dentistry in Bristol University, and medicine in Cardiff. I wanted to go to Cardiff, but I couldn't get a grant for medicine, but they would give me a grant for dentistry. So I went to Bristol, and I went to Bristol in October 48. That's when the thing started, and I was still in the RAF actually, and I was then demobbed in January 49, and that was the end of my my efforts.
So you were already at university when you... When
oh,
you
yes, yes. For 3 months I was still at university, yes. But and that was that.
So you were doing medicine?
Pardon?
You were doing medicine?
I was doing dentistry. I was doing medicine
at Bristol.
Yes, 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 yes.
And is that? And what about the question of staying in England or
yes.
going back to Poland?
Well, that's actually quite a long story, because there's no, you see, a lot of Poles actually that were here didn't go back to Poland. Or the main reason was that Poland was not really Poland, and it was really a satellite of Russia, you see. And the Russians were not exactly the friends of Poles for the century, in the past centuries. And it would have meant from going from one extreme to the other, you see, really from, you know, you would have to be, if you were a communist, you were all right, you see, but if you're not a communist, there was not an option, you see, for most of the Poles anyway here. That's why they opted to stay here, you see.
That's exactly why
I stayed here. Now,
how did your career in dentistry go? I mean, is that what you did, or did you?
Oh yes, 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 yes. Well, I finished eventually in 1953, and I graduated, and I started practice. I then eventually met my wife as well. And she is a dentist as well. And that was that.
And that was your career?
That was my career, yes, yes.
Now, you did eventually go back to Poland in 1959.
Oh, yes, yes,
and
yes.
Then there's a story which sort of goes right back to the beginning. So if you tell us why you visited Poland in 59, and what about
well,
that visit?
Well, you see, I'm not quite certain. Stalin died in 56, I think. By at that time, it was a bit of a thaw in the sort of East-West relationships, I think. So it was a bit safer to go back, you see. So I went back to see my parents. You see, they're alive. That was just about exactly 20 years because I left my father in 1939. We are now in 1959. When I arrived there, my father showed me a book, you see. Now, it wasn't an ordinary book. It was a book full of... All it contained, actually, were the names of officers that were murdered by the Russians in Katyn. And the train that I escaped from with my father actually ended up in Katyn, eventually. And all the officers that were on that train, my father's friend, they were all in that book.
Had
we not escaped, that's where I would have finished, and that's where my father would have finished.
Did you know then? I mean, there was this controversy, which is ended now. It's known
yes,
as the
yes.
Soviets
no,
that did it.
But
there was always this rumours. I mean, the Russians always said it was the Germans. Did you know at the
we
time?
We knew for certain, actually. We knew for certain that it was not the Germans. Because, you see, the Germans, when they... Germans started their offensive in 1941. Now... when they got to that place, it must have been sort of end of 41 or thereabouts, near Smolensk. They first of all straight away said, "Now we found a grave of so many thousands of you see now." Now they didn't want to be lumbered with the guilt of that, and they've invited pathologists from the United States and from England and from everywhere else that would come to examine the bodies to ascertain the time of death, you see. Now, the Germans didn't come into that area until end of 41. That's right, yes. Now, of course, there was no way that English battalions could go there, or French, or whatever, because that would have been the unthinkable, because Russia was an ally there. But some Swedish and some battalions from Switzerland went there, and they examined the bodies. And they said that the time of death was about April 1940. Where the Germans were nowhere near, actually, 1940. And that's what they said. And it took eventually Gorbachev, a few years back, that he eventually owned up. He said, no, we've done it. And there was no.
We knew
at the time that it could not have been Germans, you see. It wouldn't have been Germans, yeah, because there was no... and also, when the Germans invaded Russia, and then Russia became an ally, there was an agreement between the Polish and the Russian governments that a Polish army could be formed in Russia from the prisoners of war that were there and all that, you see, that were in Russia. So Stalin said, yes, okay, of course, we'll. Now, that when it, then the people here have noticed that there were a hell of a lot of, about 15,000 officers missing. They were just disappeared, you see, there were nowhere to be. And Stalin, first of all, said, oh, well, they must be somewhere, you see, we'll find them, you see. Because they were all eliminated, you see. They were all shot. And you see, it was an awful sort of thing, you see. Although we knew, and again, some people have gone back. And just as an example, I'll tell you, I don't know whether you've read the papers. This year, only a few months ago, a chap called Stanisław Skalski died. Now, he was the top-scoring Polish fighter pilot in England. He rose to the rank of wing commander here, you see, and here. And I knew him personally because he. Now, he went back to Poland in 1947, he went back to Poland. Now, together with other officers that went back, he was accused of being an English spy, and he was sentenced to death. And they shot a number of, including one particular friend of mine called Śliwiński. He went back to Poland at the same time with his Welsh wife and child. Now, he was shot. He was also accused of being a spy. He was a flight attendant. He was in my squadron. Now Skalski, he waited to be shot. After about a couple of years of waiting, his sentence was commuted to life imprisonment, but he wasn't told. He was eventually released in 1957, 1958, thereabouts. Having spent all that time in prison, waiting to be shot, you see, to be executed. I mean, you see, they commuted this sentence after a couple of years, but they didn't tell him. Now, you see, it's... Now, would you have gone back to that kind of... Or anybody, for that matter? To that kind of treatment, you see?
Had your father been treated? I mean, you know...
Well, my father sort of went virtually underground. He said that he was a railway worker before the war, and he just went in a little office there, not very far. By the time he was my father would have been 115 by now, you see. Now when the war finished, he was 45, he was nearly 60 when the war finished, you see, so they didn't.
They weren't so bothered.
No, they weren't so bothered. But a couple of my uncles were shot. My mother's brother, he was accused of being a subversive thing by the communists, you see, and he was shot in 1947 or 48.
Now, how did you find this visit? You went back in 59. Yes. Things had thawed out a bit then.
By that time, it's thawed out. Mainly because Stalin died, you see.
Did you visit again after that?
Yes. I've been a number of times. A number of times. Yes.
So you're quite regular now.
Yes.
Were you ever tempted to return, in the later period or after your
retirement? Not really, no, because there was no... by that time, you see, I've had my roots here. I've got an English wife who couldn't speak Polish, and it would have been uprooting everything. You see, there was no point in that, really.
So effectively, your home is here.
Oh yes, of course, yes. Yeah.
And do you keep in touch with the other Polish pilots?
Yes. There are very, very few about now. I met one actually not all that long ago in Chile again, because they had a reunion there. I met him a couple of years ago, and he was perfectly all right. I met him again this year. That Chaley, but he was obviously couldn't remember very much by now. He's about a couple of years older than me. You see, he must be 86 now, I think, yes. I'm only 83, you see. So
you're not in regular touch now?
Not really in regular touch, no. Well, mainly because they're virtually all dead, you see. There's no... you see, I was the youngest ones flying, you see. When I came here, I started when I was 19, you see.
Do you think people appreciate the contribution the Polish pilots made? Because, I mean, it was
They do now, yes. They do now, actually. I've had invitations to Northolt to go there, and I think they are threatening to invite me again this year, you see, when the 60th anniversary of V-Day, Victory Europe. Yes. And there seems to be a sort of resurgence of those days of the 1940, 41, 42, 43, you see, when the Poles were flying here, you see. There's no even I was given a book the other day. I'll show it to you there. It actually gives, although it's a bit dramatized actually, but it gives a story of two or three pilots actually that started. They were older than me, you see, because they were already fighter pilots from Poland, you see, in the Polish Air Force. But then they came to England and they flew with the RAF during the Battle of Britain and afterwards. Answer what happened to them, you see.
Okay, thank you very much.